there's a way to be you, truly you, in your pain, in your story, and in vulnerability that feels invincible.
Friends, it's Morgan Snyder, and welcome back to another episode of Become Good Soil podcast. The hope and the heart of our work in the world is to strengthen the hearts of men and women as they consent to recovering an ancient path and an ancient process of becoming wholehearted, becoming initiated, becoming the kind of men and women that God meant when he meant us. Robert Bly said, "Every part of our personality that we do not love will become hostile to us." Friends, we are halfway through a conversation with Sam Eldridge, and we're diving deep into the interior relationships, the relationships between different parts within our soul. Though they can become hostile, the opposite is also true. That when we repair our internal relationships, when we integrate the whole of the person, when all of our parts are organized and sustained by God, we can experience a level of peace, a level of satisfaction, a level of well-being that allows us to stay steady in any and every circumstance, and allow us to be able to wield power and strength in the service of others. And so, friends, if you haven't heard part one, I strongly encourage you to go back and listen to that. And for those of you that have, let's pick up with part two on initiating our parts with my buddy Sam.
Here I am, you know, starting at Wild at Heart, and how do I become the man that is John Eldridge? And get really good at the give a response, make it vulnerable, but not too vulnerable. Make it like I have a part that, because this is familiar language for your audience, the parts stuff that I end up naming the Claw, and it does feel like the Claw from Toy Story. The Claw.
Oh my gosh!
You have been chosen. Well, the Claw chooses a part of me to go deploy to be sacrificed. Mm. It looks in my heart and in my story and goes, yep, you can do hard things. We will deploy that part, and it will, that story, that response, that whatever, and almost like sacrifice it to the world.
In order to protect the rest of the parts.
Correct. Yep. I don't use it anymore, which I'm really grateful for. These days, my friends are my internal critic, my intellection, and my Jack Sparrow. Like those guys, are all trying to squeeze into the front seat.
But you're not a prostitute anymore. It's just the Claw just selling you out
exactly.
For a trick.
Yeah, which feels like amazing. And I think one of the things that changed that for me, like I was myself and I also was learning, right?
Yeah.
Like you're in your 20s and I don't know which direction's north. I lost a child and it was like, what? You know, it's that very stereotypical reaction for folks of I didn't think this would happen to me type stories.
Right.
You're like, ugh, guess what? I think one of the big shifts for me in that was writing the article after losing Patrick. And that was like the first time I found the door to which has led to me to this current moment. Mm-hmm. And that door was, there's a way to be you, truly you, in your pain, and in your story, and in vulnerability that feels invincible. And I got to experience that writing that article. Like I sat there and just had all these questions I wanted to ask him and close the door, and just like wept my way through writing it. And then when other people had asked, they're like, are you worried about what other people will say? It was the first one for me where I was like, finally, no. I think I was worried what people would say in some of the pieces of Killing Lions, because I'm trying so desperately to have the right answer.
Yeah.
Trying to still like perform,
jump,
do the hoop, little doggy. Okay. And some of it was real, but some of it was a performance.
Right.
I mean, yeah. So to get to this place of, hey, just be you, and it can be way, way, way more risky than ever before, but it's finally you. And it was like, oh, I didn't care if people said, like, oh, you shouldn't respond that way. I was like, oh, I've tried the other responses. Thank you. And I'm really sorry. Would have been my reaction to somebody who could have been negative.
Yes.
And then I think, you know, the last 6 years have been this, okay, what does it look like to be someone who experiences emotion who hasn't? What does it look like to be somebody who, I've landed in a place where people experience me from what they tell me. Cause you know, remember the homecoming queen wanted to date me and I had no idea. So my self-perception is still a little bit off. But I've been a part of this grad program for 3 years and, 2, 4, 6, about out of the 25 of us, I'll be conservative and say 6 or 7 of the other students had asked to work for me at some point in the program. Mm-hmm. And that's weird when you're like supposed to be peers, right?
Yeah.
And you're supposed to be learning together, but there was this like, oh, I'm coming into my sense of self of I'm actually good. Like I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And their offers didn't feel like Truman Show to me. It didn't feel weird. And I'm not, you know, it was in a moment. So I'm not saying that like I'm amazing and they're lesser, but it was this like, in the past it would have compounded more of my isolation and more of my, I don't belong. It did that still. I won't deny that. Like it very much still was like you work for me, not let's come work together on something. And that has its own continued grief for me. I was mentioning to you before the podcast, there's a ton of areas in which I feel pretty isolated. Mm-hmm. And I also feel a little trapped and like, I this is kind of the only way left forward for me, Morgan. Mm-hmm. So I have been told that lately I can be fairly direct and also pretty playful. I cry fairly easily. I have a lot of poetry that I keep around because sometimes I don't think you actually need like a truism. I think you need a poem that maybe means mm-hmm. something different to you than it meant to me. I've had clients get startled and tell me, I didn't expect you to do that when I've like just named things that feel really clear. Mm-hmm. And had the privilege of people say that they experienced me as being a really safe space. Mm-hmm. And so I was writing, reflecting after coming back from a hunting trip, and the phrase was specifically around counseling. We like to look at all the letters at the end of the name and the people with the highest credentials as like being the experts. And maybe they are an expert in a sense, but I found myself going, the person that I want to spend my time with is the person that feels settled in themselves that I feel safe with.
Yes.
And that's the person that I would like to become. And so I think of like the color wheel, or we've used all the like the depths and the shallows. Like I know that I am meant to express a multitude of emotions mm-hmm. and a multitude of dimensions of self. Do you want to go deep? Totally. I want to go deep too. Clearly nothing today has felt compromising to me in a way that in the past might've felt like the claw. Mm-hmm. And you want to go shallow and laugh about the 11 p.m. decision still got made. And oh man, she was so hot. Like that to me also feels human and connecting.
Yes.
And feels like a robust version of myself. I think of Stephen Pressfield's book, The War of Art, mm-hmm. one of my favorite books, but the intro epitaph he has for that by, Telamon of Arcadia, this mercenary. And the intro line is, it is one thing to study war and another to live the warrior's life. Mm. What that quote means for me in this context is it's one thing to study all of these ideas. Mm. It's one thing to have like the language for it. In some respects, I think I felt a little handicapped by having a lot of the language from this ministry early.
Right. You knew more than you've lived.
It is very different to walk through it and live the warrior's life and choose, who are you going to be this morning? Who are you going to be today? Who's going to show up? And so I think that kind of brings me to the present moment. That is like this distinct looking back on, I now feel way more connected with young Cowboy Sam than in the past. Like he's allowed to ride shotgun anytime he wants. He's innocence and wonder and connection. Ugh. And the questions of like that grade school Sam of why do they keep putting me in the king spot? It feels appropriate in ways completely apart from my father. But as I look back on Sam in grade school wanting to belong, Sam in high school who felt like he had answers from his dad but not from his peers and the pain was getting in, Sam in college who was learning to protect himself and try and distance from the pain, even Sam in those early 20s learning to try and walk with the pain but struggling to try to be somebody else, I have a lot more compassion for them. And still was doing work just a couple weeks ago on when am I overly blended with some of those strategies? When am I back in be perfect, be amazing, to be okay? And the phrase, these lines came to me. It has taken me a long time to realize that I had seen the mountain of my father as part self, part vocation, and part theology. As I learn to walk down his mountain and honor the man that he is, I seek to climb my own mountain in a familiar range. My mountain is not my vocation versus his, my theology versus his. The mountain is myself.
What do you primarily feel when you hear yourself read that and come to my mountain is myself?
A profound sense of relief. I feel gratitude for the people that were my story that helped me get there. I didn't get there alone. So I think I feel some grief. Grief for like people that are gone or people that are here and the season's just ended. And I think that thing that I just read feels like I either got to get it tattooed on me somewhere or written somewhere because it's already been really grounding in a season that's like a lot of now and not yet, which I really don't like that phrase because I feel like you guys just went on autopilot, but it is this sense of like, I'm creating a counseling practice and creating an intensive workshop and baby number four may have been delivered sometime in the past hour. And there's so much that's coming that I can feel the weight of.
Yes.
But having that view, that lens, I think allows me to go like, okay. It's okay. It's going to take time. You can separate some of those threads from the past and for who you see yourself and who you see your dad and just be you for a little while. That's okay. Hopefully be me for a long while. And recognize it's going to take time, that the metaphor of the mountain.
Sam, what I'm observing that I just think is very beautiful, these fundamental questions that I hear you saying like are part of the arc of your life in very different seasons, different parts of you. Do I belong and am I welcome? What I hear is you are coming home to yourself, that you're finding, you're describing, you're manifesting a person who belongs with himself and is welcoming himself. Like this picture of all those parts.
Yeah.
It seemed like, there was a predominant part for each season. And I just pictured Jack Sparrow and you're out of school. Like it makes perfect sense. And now there's just this real compassion and care and curiosity. You know, that phrase, there are no bad parts, right? Like every part of us is valuable and important because it is telling us something and we need that part restored, healed, initiated and to be integrated with the rest of the parts.
Totally.
So I want to celebrate. I see this like you're belonging
and you're more welcome to yourself than ever before.
Totally.
It's really grounding.
Totally.
And therefore, you can be sitting here with like baby on its way and counseling practice, the kind of things that would trigger one of those parts to commandeer the bus and be a superhero, right? Even if it's the part that says, I'm going to blend in, right? Going, oh shit, I don't really, like, this is impossible, so I'm just going to play it small and right. blend in. But one part is commandeering rather than that integration.
Yeah. And I think from that integration piece, we'll take it back even to your intro. When I look around, most of my fellow graduates are choosing different paths. They're choosing either to start a private practice. Very few of them are. Some of them are choosing to continue education. Some of them are choosing to work. Most of them are choosing to work for groups. It's been interesting. In the past, I would have said, oh, you're highly motivated by performance, by like, check those boxes, get ahead. Mm-hmm. But right now where it's like, oh, you know, we've been really enjoying it, or the Orthodox Church. Mm-hmm. We've got child number four on the way, and like a sense of like, yeah, my life is, I get home and it's kids and dishes and wrestling. And sometimes I'm just exhausted and Susie's exhausted because she's ready to give birth, but it's good. It's not like too much.
Yeah.
And somehow starting a practice and starting an intensive workshop and having a baby and leaving a job I've been at for a decade and looking for my own health insurance and creating LLCs for all of these things and looking for an office space and continue to do my own work and fitting in a workout and like somehow the rhythm actually doesn't feel too much.
Yeah.
There are moments where it does, but more often than not, there's this sense of like, no, it's okay. It won't come as fast as I think.
Yes.
It won't come as sharply or sparkly or shiny as I want right away.
Yes.
It will take time.
Yeah.
And all of that is okay. And that feels way more settled and integrated as there's these parts of me going, we got to perform. It's like, no, but I'm grateful you're here because I do want it to be good. We got to hide. No, we don't. But I'm grateful you're here because I do want connection. We got to push back. No, but I'm grateful you're here because I do want creativity. Mm. We got to deploy some piece of us. No, we don't, but I'm glad that you're here because you remind me of the past. I don't really have a lot of empathy for the claw yet beyond that.
That's okay.
That's all I got. So yeah, it is interesting to look at it and go, I don't know, Morgan. Like,
oh, yeah.
I think I'm, if anything these days, greedy for if you could put a price on 10 years of experience right now, I would do a lot to try and afford that and also recognize there are no shortcuts.
Oh, and the language you're using that just goes full circle from where we began, Sam, of the integrated soul, right? Where you have become very familiar with the dominant parts that in earlier immature seasons you would deploy to self-protect or to live, right? To save your own life. And so it's just such a picture of deeper integration, deeper maturity. I do have one question. So you named writing the article, Processing Patrick, was this tectonic shift looking back to what if I just be myself and become really curious about who is me? Who is Sam Eldridge? And I know in that time you stepped into some deep intensive work, you know, with Lori Loki, and it seemed like from the outside looking in, you got visibility on dynamics that now you can articulate really well, whereas back then you could feel them and be self-sabotaging because of them, but you couldn't really name. Mm-hmm. Could you put some more words to like, what did you actually do? You wrote an article, but you're here now with so much more healing, freedom, integration. Like, what did you do?
I like this. Good. I'm helped. Thank you for that question because it takes me back to even my own irritation with older men not giving the clear roadmap that I then esoterically kind of did. I first entered into the pain in a way I had never done before, which was the writing piece. And if you are going to do this, I would recommend writing it in some way, because usually talking about it's too much at first. Writing all of it. Think of your current wound like a doorway, and that wound has dirt and gristle from years of just not being covered and not being healed and dealt with. And so it needs to be fully flushed out. Use that metaphor. It is a wound you have dragged through the dirt. And the best thing is a saline rinse of every nook and cranny. Mm. That is hard. It feels really painful to write something like that and to go there. And I think there's two fears that stop us. One is that we won't have the capacity to handle it if we do it. I like this quote by Seneca that goes, "We suffer more often in imagination than in reality." Mm. Or another one by Kierkegaard. I wrote this one down. Come on, where is it? "People settle for a level of despair that they can tolerate and call it happiness." Mm. So your fear that you don't have the capacity to handle it, I would argue that you are more resilient than you know. I certainly experienced that I was more resilient than I knew. I have a second fear for you, though, and that is, imagine again the metaphor of the wound. Let's say, how about you leave a shard of glass in there? You say everything else but that, and then you try and heal it up, and you think that that's going to go well in 5 years. Like, that is just not. So the first piece was to really try and get personal eyes on the ways that I felt. I've used this expression with one client. You're not a domino. And by that, I mean, if you were to name all this pain, your next action is not inevitable. It doesn't mean that you're going to go shoot yourself. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that you're going to go on a bender. Doesn't mean that you're going to go have the affair. These things are in there, and you pretending like they're not there. There was this guy, he gave this like sermon, and it was kind of like on a mount, and he was really like kind of big on your internal world as opposed to like your actions. So it matters. The next thing I did was I met with someone, and the first person I met with was Dan. I did an intensive with Dan. I am more inclined for the intensive model put your eggs in a basket. If you can't afford it, communicate with a counselor that you'd like to do that with, and put some aside until you can. Yeah. A weekly Band-Aid on this wound is not okay. Mm. You actually need a couple of days with that one person to sit with them, have them witness it. There's just phenomenal things that happen when your mirror neurons mirror mine, empathize, and get an outside set of eyes on the scenario, and even just be heard tell your story.
And a couple of days with yourself.
Totally.
To stay in that story.
Totally. That is brutal, right? Mm. Is it Pascal that said that most of mankind's failings stem from the fact that man can't be alone in a room with himself?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Right. Right. So you can see I got all these little... the next thing that I did was I needed to practice emotion being okay. And so for me... emotion for years. I didn't cry, Morgan, for probably 6 years. Because after I was on, I got off of antidepressants because it turns out chewing them and drinking isn't like the best thing for your body. And I learned one survival strategy was to limit my own emotional range myself. I could keep a lid on that and go +3, -3 was my full emotional range. And you can train your brain to play whack-a-mole with emotions. I think it's more like scythe-a-mole. Like you cut those things off enough times, they stop poking up. So I needed to practice emotion being okay. And that looked like noticing how I felt in my body, giving some space for that, even if it was half a second. Because for most people that have not done that for a while, half a second feels like an eternity. It feels like holding a hot coal and they're about to die.
To stay present
to the
emotion. Become aware to what you're feeling.
Yes, for 0.5 seconds. Mm-hmm. And we're going to expand that, and you're going to work on like some stabilizing things. If you were working with any skilled therapist, they would make sure that you have some grounding tools, you have some safety pieces, you're moving, you're sleeping, you have some visualizations, some connections with people that you're not going to overly trigger. I have triggered a guy by going too hard, too fast into one particular part without that. Mm-hmm. He did go home and go on a bender. He's okay, but we just went too fast for a particular place. I've done that for myself as well. There's some counselors that call it expanding and contracting. Like, it's going to take time. As you expand into yourself on this journey, it'll have moments where you contract back a little bit. Be kind. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And I lived that for several years before I had my next round of counseling, of just paying attention, being okay, finding when I found the wound, kind of rinsing it, like grieving or naming it, and then sharing it with somebody. And then I ended up doing some parts work on myself before I knew what parts was, which was kind of fun. Mm. And I think it's a really intuitive model. So I think people that's why it works, because yeah. People like latch onto it. But I wrote an article called CNCN again about getting Chinese food. And it was like this, why do I feel the need to get hammered every Thanksgiving or like just before Thanksgiving? And it was, because there's a part of me that around that time of year remembers when we get Chinese food as a kid. And that place was called Xianxian, and it's closed. And that part of me is so sad that the past is gone and never coming back. Mm. And adult me goes, I don't want to feel that way. Give me something to drink. Mm. And so one time eventually I put words to that. I was like, what is this? And it was, I really want Chinese food, which isn't that. I really want the past to come again, which isn't that. It's, I want my desires to not be stupid, and for my grief for things that are gone to not be too much. Mm. I sat outside and wept. Like, it's journaling, because I would call it becoming a student of your heart. The more this like does increase until I hit the next impasse that I couldn't get across, at which point I worked with Bill and Lori Loki. Mm. And it was again this like, I think this is working. I don't understand what's not working. And they really helped like burst the dam on emotions for me, did a lot of letter writing, a lot of experiential stuff. So what I do now is like, don't just think about it, don't just talk about it. I think that we have at least three dimensions of self. You have your brain, you have your mind separate than your brain. You have your body and you have your spirit. And we do need something for all three of those mm-hmm. pieces, where you are neglecting the whole. So imagine you take meds for your brew up your body mm-hmm. and call it good. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work. Imagine if you talk with somebody, but you stay in bed all day long. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work. Imagine if you just go to an event and you pray a bam, bam, thank you, ma'am prayer, Jesus, make this all better, make it all go away. And that's all you do. Why do you think those people keep going to the next event?
Yep.
It doesn't work. Like, it actually needs to all work in tangent together. Yes. Your story, your heart, your body, and your spirit. They helped me get more of those pieces together. Mm. So it was having conversations with people I'm sitting across from, doing empty chair with them, weeping. I burst a blood vessel, talking to a blue scarf that was my son, Patrick, that we lost. Like, just this increasing my ability to walk into things. And from there, I have seen two different counselors in seasons. Mm-hmm. And I do think of this, there are some people that I journey with as a counselor now who the weekly checkups are really helpful. There's another category of person that maybe just needs it seasonally. Maybe just needs like, okay, for these next 6 months, I'm going to meet with somebody and then I'm going to ease off. I'm going to like implement some of these things and I'm going to come back around and do it again. I think there's kind of a scaling on these things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's been a book of poetry that gets me, and that's mm-hmm. all I need for a while. Sometimes it's been Vespers, actually. Like, there's been times where I'm like, I just need to go and stand in church and hear the choir sing and smell the incense. And people who are listening right now are like, would you do what now?
And like, oh, there's more. Enough. Oh, yeah, there's more.
There's a lot more. Sometimes it's the intensive, but it is a scale. Yes. It isn't just like one and done. I think we kind of need that care.
Sam, it's just really helpful after talking mythically about this sort of narrative arc of your heart as a boy into manhood, of how it's wounded, how it's awakened, how it's healed. It's just really good to hear some of the very practical doorways that led you into places that are mysterious, that are inefficient, that are seasonal.
but in all of it, have a sense of you are a son being led by God, your father, into the next piece, the next first track, the next step towards the integration of your soul. Sam, thank you for taking the time to connect with me on this, to share your heart, to offer the true Sam. And I'm really excited for the season ahead. You shared earlier that there were two things you wanted to read and one that often evokes tears in the place in which you find yourself. I'd love for you to read that and share with other like-hearted men who are also set on expedition.
This is called For Someone Awakening to the Trauma of His or Her Past, and it's by John O'Donohue. For everything under the sun, there is a time. This is the season of your awakened harvesting. When the pain takes you where you would rather not go, through the white curtain of yesterday's to a place you had forgotten you knew from the inside out. In a time when that bitter tree was planted that has grown always invisibly beside you and whose branches your awakened hands now long to disentangle from your heart. You are coming to see how you are looking often darkened when you should have felt safe enough to fall toward love. How deep down your eyes were always owned by something that faced them through a dark fester of thorns, converting whoever came into a further figure of the wrong. You could only see what touched you as already torn. Now the act of seeing begins your work of mourning, and your memory is ready to show you everything, having waited all these years for you to return and know. Only you know where the casket of pain is interred. You will have to scrape through all the layers of covering, and according to your readiness, everything will open. May you be blessed with a wise and compassionate guide who can accompany you through the fear and grief until your heart has wept its way to your true self. As your tears fall over that wounded place, may they wash away your hurt and free your heart. May your forgiveness still the hunger of the wound, so that for the first time, so that for the first time, you can walk away from that place, reunited with your banished heart, now healed and freed, and feel the clear, free air bless your new face.